For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh boy, did the Lakers get worked here. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Good morning, Pearl.
You cut off Woj there.
I cut off Woj. I'm
What's
sorry.
Going
I got
on,
headphones.
Maggie?
My headphones won't work. Oh gosh, I've got major technical issues going on.
I was right with you. We were just arguing before the show about this Dan Hurley thing so much that we're barely ready for the start of the show.
I literally cannot get my headphones on. Something's not working. Technical issues this morning. Is Woj stopped talking or am I still talking over him?
I know. Woj just stopped talking. Long story short, Maggie, Dan Hurley's not going to the Lakers.
No. And I really do think that the Lakers look pretty bad here this morning. Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, of course, on the Infinity Sports Network. I can't help but think that the Lakers really did get worked here by Dan Hurley. And whether it was, you know, Hurley actually wanting to sit down with the Lakers brass and hear what they had to say, yeah, maybe that's part of it. I think the bigger part of it, Perloff, was Dan Hurley may have been insulted that a contract from UConn was not coming as quickly as he wanted it to. Turns out that the team, or the school, I guess, and the state of Connecticut, they were in talks with Hurley before Hurley went to L.A. to sit down with the Lakers. That's information we all could have used last week. This makes it look like more clear of a bargaining chip and a ploy, a negotiation, however you want to put it. It's not nefarious, but it makes it look a little bit more calculated by Dan Hurley to say, hey, this contract from UConn might not be where I want it to be. I'm going to use the Lakers as the ultimate bargaining chip to play you against UConn, and I'm going to get what I want from the school, and that looks like it's happening.
This is so typical of our show. You always see conspiracy, and you will not read a story as it is. There's always some other possible angle here, right?
I mean, what kind of fool just takes it for what it is?
Let me just float this possibility.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lakers need a head coach, and they're looking around the coaching landscape, and there's an unproven ESPN analyst. There's a failed assistants, failed former head coaches that said, you know what, why don't we expand our list? And somebody in a boardroom said, oh, well, how about the best college coach by a mile, Dan Hurley? Why don't we call him, or call Woj, one of the two, his representative, and say, hey, would you be interested in the Lakers? And Dan Hurley is like, heck yeah, I'd be interested in the Lakers. And they came in, and they brought him into L.A., and it just didn't work out. Occam's razor, simplest explanation. Maybe it wasn't, yes, he will end up getting more money, of course, out of this, but maybe it wasn't anything other than what it seems. Okay. Like the Lakers expanded their list. Yep. Dan Hurley makes perfect sense for them.
Sure.
And Dan Hurley, his decision to return to UConn makes perfect sense logically too, because he's on the brink of three-peating, which hasn't happened since John Wooden. So the obvious explanation, or the more clear explanation, also makes as much sense as your a little bit more complicated layered explanation.
Okay, that if you want to take that for face value, yes, it could have gone down that way. Of course, we're talking about Dan Hurley's returning to UConn, not going to the Lakers. My question is then, why did he actually turn down the Lakers? If you're that intrigued by the offer, what do you think ultimately swayed him to go back to UConn in this scenario that you painted?
Me and many other people are like, wait, that's how much money the Lakers offered? 6 years, $70 million? What? For the two-time defending champion in college basketball, they're not going to make him the highest-paid coach in the NBA or up there? So he's sixth highest. But, I mean, not to be that guy, but there's huge tax implications. I saw Darren Rovell tweeted, he goes from $4.5 million gross in Connecticut to $6 million Lakers. Everyone thought they were going to blow him away. Triple his salary. $100 million had been thrown out. 6 years, $70 million? Like, that's sixth highest in the NBA, and after taxes, that's like 10th or 11th. Like, that is not the blow-away offer we all expected. This is the Lakers. We thought that there was going to be something that was just stunning. And 6 years, $70 million, it's like, you're paying like half of Rui Hachimura's contract for Dan Hurley.
The players always make more.
Like, I mean, that is not that hard of a decision to go to a team that is not great. They won 47 games last year, came into the play-in tournament as a 7 seed. It's just not an ideal situation. Like, there's a lot of, you would have had to blow him away to get him out of UConn. Obviously, you had to blow, just like, knock his socks off to get him away from a team where he's winning. You can't just sort of say, okay, here's a medium deal.
He's never coached in the NBA before.
Oh my God. That
if you can't make $70 million work, I don't care about the gross and all this stuff. That's insulting to people because he still would be getting a massive raise on top of what he was making, right? And here's the thing. It's also could be looked at. I know this is going to be foreign to people. It also could be looked at as a privilege to coach the Lakers. I'm not saying you have to take less, you've never done this before, Perloff.
Talking about? It's a basketball. Roll it out and play basketball.
Yeah, because that's worked so well for the other Laker coaches who have all been shown the door after 3 years.
What do you mean he's never done this before?
Coached on the pro level before.
So what? It's still the same rules? It's not college football where it's even different rules. It's the same rules.
Well, it's literally not the same rules, but if you want to, it's not the same type of player. It's not the same power dynamic. Yeah. And we know that there's a difference between college and pro because there's basically been two people who've actually been successful at doing this, which is Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan. They still didn't win anything, but they have been successful at this, and tons of other guys have failed. To immediately say you have to make Dan Hurley the top of the market, I think it's silly. I don't think the Lakers had to do that. I think you can
move.
They
clearly did.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't know if Dan Hurley actually ever wanted this job. See, that's where I'm at. I think $70 million is more than enough to turn somebody's head to make it enticing to go to California. And even if you say it's $6 million, you can't get by on $6 million? His kids are already out of school. It's not like you're starting with $50,000 kindergarten and you have got to go from there. He should be able to, like, live comfortably. And if he's already somebody who's comparing his salary to who? Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich? Then you've got the wrong guy anyway. And I don't think Dan Hurley's that kind of dude. I really don't. I'm not saying it's not about the money. He's obviously going to get a big raise from UConn. But I don't think that he was looking around saying, gosh, if I'm not paid as much as Monty Williams, I'm out of here. Like, that's ridiculous.
Out of here. But clearly it wasn't.
I'm not taking the job.
I mean, now I'm going to be the one with conspiracy. Like, clearly... Yeah. Was not enough money. That's a fact. I mean, if they come in with $110 million, like we kind of expected, then I think he's the Lakers coach. Like, if they had blown him out the door with their offer, but they just didn't. Because for some reason, they're one of the cheapest head coaching teams in the league. I don't understand. They're the Lakers. Why couldn't they just make him an offer he couldn't refuse?
Well, I think if I'm going to think about the Lakers side of this for a second, I think that you're probably looking at it and saying, why do I have to reset the market for somebody who's never coached in the NBA before? I'm already paying other coaches, which is their fault, because they keep firing coaches. And I think they probably realize coaching in the NBA, you never really know how it's going to go. And so to give him a fully guaranteed contract for $100 million before you have ever really worked with the guy before. And he's known to have like a very unique personality. You're not bringing in somebody who's like a Labrador retriever here. You're bringing in a real pit bull. And so I can understand not wanting to go so far. Like, to me, this all just felt like a work. It did feel like we were kind of getting sold something that Dan Hurley kind of emerged out of nowhere. We were told he was the front runner or that they'd been targeting him. I'm sorry. Just days after we had gotten a report that said the Lakers were actually zeroing in on J.J. Redick, then the tables completely turned to a candidate that is completely different, right? Like a totally 180 from J.J. Redick and Dan Hurley. You can't get two more opposite people in terms of one guy's to win now, probably, and the other guy's to like win now and also build a culture, you know? It's just all felt very... like overwhelming and like and just felt like we were just getting pushed something by Woj. And I think we were. And I think what we were being pushed was, maybe Dan Hurley did want to hear the Lakers out and he had plenty of nice things to say about them after the fact. But Woj held out a very key piece of information, the fact that Dan Hurley was undergoing and in a contract negotiation with UConn. That felt like being withheld, that information being withheld, it felt. Because wouldn't it have changed your mind if it looked a little bit more A to B? Hey, he's in a contract negotiation with one party, and now all of a sudden he's really interested in another thing and could play the two off of each other.
I mean, we all knew.
I don't have to be a conspiracy theorist for that one. We just didn't have the info.
We didn't need the info. We all knew he was going to get more money out of UConn out of this thing.
Well, we weren't sure if UConn was going to keep going up and up and up, right?
Up and up, and there were 6 years, $32 million. I think we all saw that. Like, wait, what?
Well, we said bad job out of UConn because you have this low buyout, and why have you not given him an extension? Yeah. We never said, wow, what are they going to come back to the table with?
Well, I just assumed that I could, for you, that's a given that they were going to... this was all negotiation. But yeah, I just don't think... I understand what you're saying about being played, and it's interesting. You very well could be right. But I do think the Lakers really wanted him, and I think they didn't make a big enough offer. And Hurley said, like, you really got to blow me. I mean, to get someone to leave, you got to just really jump up in huge money. And that's what I think you're underestimating, like what you really need to do to get him out of a very comfortable place. So you're saying it's a privilege to coach the Lakers? Why? I mean, it's a privilege. It's actually one of the worst jobs in the sense if you don't win at a high level immediately, you're going to get fired in 2 years.
With all this money, like it doesn't.
Not that much money. I mean, honestly, if you get fired in 2 years, I don't know. Like, it's just like I was genuinely surprised. 6 years, $70 million. It reminded me of this old Saturday Live skit where there's this character playing James Bond, but it's James Bond on a budget.
Oh,
he's
no.
Like, darling, darling, it's time to whisk you away to sunny Orlando instead of Rio de Janeiro. It's like the Lakers are making this huge offer, and it turns out 6 years, $70 million. It's like, wait, what? Is this the Cavs? What is going on here? I was actually really surprised. It was not an offer he could refuse. I mean, John Gruden could get 10 years, $100 million, like 15 years ago or whatever that was. Or no, 5 years ago. So, and they can't make Danny Hurley at least close to the highest paid coach. I was really surprised, and I'm actually not surprised he said no, because I think if you actually weigh the offer, and you and I disagree about one more thing, I do think he wanted to stay on the East Coast. I think his family's on the East Coast. It's a pain to fly. I mean, he's gonna have grandkids at some point soon to fly from LA to Connecticut or New Jersey or wherever his family is. I think that was a factor, and I think his wife didn't want to leave the East Coast. So
right.
I get it. Unless the money was so crazy that you couldn't turn it down, I think that this decision made a lot of sense from Dan Hurley's point of view. But I think the Lakers have no idea what they're doing in this coach. I think that's obvious.
Yeah, the whole East Coast thing and not wanting to relocate. I guess, again, I go back to the framing of these reports. And that's why I feel like we were sold something here. Because we know where the Lakers reside, and we know where UConn is. These two geographic locations are not changing. So why would we get reports that say he's interested, he's intrigued, he wants to hear about it, if it was always going to be a no-go to go to the West Coast? Like, if you don't want to move there, unless you're trying to do something, which is, I think, get more money from UConn, why even entertain it? You know, why even, you know, LA's far away. You understand all those things. You've worked that out in your head. And so why do it unless there was another reason, there was another motivation?
I'll tell you right now, I'll bet you next summer somebody comes along with a lot more money and he takes it.
What job?
I mean, who knows? You never know what jobs. How many jobs were this year? 5 or 6? You have no idea who's going to struggle. Somebody's going to get kicked out, and I'll bet you he takes another job.
Okay,
but it's going to be twice that money.
But okay, and that's fine. But number one, you might be in a terrible situation. And number two...
But he'll have his choice of any of the jobs, so he could pick the best one.
Okay, and that's another thing, too, where you're going to be now on this mission for a three-peat, which, by the way, if you're asking me if I think UConn's more likely to three-peat or more likely to not three-peat, then I'm going to say no all the time. That doesn't mean it shouldn't pursue it, but that's going to be almost impossible to do. And... why has nobody done it since John Wooden? I mean, it's not like there haven't been good college teams out there.
I just think that I'm just going back to the Big East tournament and last year's NCAA tournament. I have trouble betting against UConn. They're certainly in the mix. Let's put it this way.
They're fine in the mix, but with the type of one-and-done tournament,
they're sort of
this is,
sharing the number one spot with Kansas. So he obviously, it's a much better chance for him to win a title at UConn than the LA Lakers this year. Much better.
Well, that's fine, but it's also, it's... It, it, you had to know all this. Yeah. Like, none of this is news, you know? Like, you understand if you're Dan Hurley, and this is, again, why I don't think he ever really wanted this job. You know what this job is, right? You get what's happening here. And the framing of the article was, this is perfect for him. LeBron James, who thinks he's a genius, and then Bronny and the younger guys, and everybody's going to benefit from this. Like, it just, all this stuff we knew, and yet you really think it's because they wouldn't up the offer a couple $1 million that that's what it was? I just can't believe that.
So you think Dan Hurley, just to get more money out of UConn,
yes,
flew to L.A. and did a three-day, okay.
Yeah, definitely. And he wasn't even there for a couple days. Apparently he flew out on Thursday, met with them on Friday, and was back at Madison Square Garden to watch Billy Joel. Pete, you would have loved this. He was back to watch Billy Joel on Saturday.
All right.
That's interesting. Yes. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, like, gosh, how can I get some more money from my employer? I'm going to go out to L.A. and meet with Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka.
What?
I just think that I don't think it's that cut and dry. I think if they had made him an offer he couldn't refuse, he probably would have taken it. But maybe you're right. Maybe this was all just a ploy. Dan Hurley was sitting around saying, like, how do we get more money out of UConn? Hey, let's call Woj and see if we can get in on this Lakers mess.
Well, I just think that, you know, dangling the Cavaliers out there, job being open, doesn't do the same thing, right? And I think that the Lakers, to go back to the original point, which is the Lakers, I think, look pretty bad today, not because of the contract they offered. That I don't think that's why they look bad. I think they look bad because it looks like they got used. And now it doesn't seem like they have a very obvious second candidate, unless J.J. Redick is that guy. We can talk about who should take over for the Lakers now that Dan Hurley has said no. But I think they saw the Lakers, and the Lakers are, like, they set themselves up for this, you know, because they're so star-driven. Not Darvin Ham, obviously, but in their last coach. But, like, it's so easy to turn their heads, because they're always looking and will gravitate towards the star, whether it's a player, whether it's a coach, whatever. I think the Lakers have this star savior complex thing that's always been a part of the brand. And it was easy, I think, to use the Lakers for the purposes that Dan Hurley wanted, because they allowed themselves to be used, quite frankly.
Well, how come their coaches are always so lame then?
Well, Phil Jackson wasn't lame.
Yeah, Phil. Okay, who else?
Well, Ty Lue turned them down, right? Man. They end up going with Frank Vogel. They win a title with Frank Vogel, and then they turned on him. And then I don't know where Darvin Ham came out of.
I mean, they. I don't know. And J.J. Redick, it's not like they're getting the top of the market guy there either. I hope they're not paying J.J. Redick anything. Okay. You're consistent with this logic that there was never any interest in Dan Hurley and the Lakers. This was all a ploy with Connecticut.
I think that's where I'm landing on this, because again, we're getting new information that's coming out that would have really changed the shade of the story had we known about it last week.
I don't even think that's even worth adding to the story. I mean, in the sense before, like, yeah, of course he's going to bilk more money out of UConn. This is college coaching. That's what they do.
No, but if you thought that he really wanted the Laker job, then UConn wouldn't have been able to offer anything that would have been close. And turns out that's not true.
I really think he considered the Lakers job.
For how long? An hour?
2 days.
855-212-4227. Remember, he was the one who was targeted from the beginning, well, we were told.
Why do you think? Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you're ascribing a lot of business conniving to Dan Hurley's team. I just don't think that, like, they came up with a bullet point plan. How are we going to get more money out of UConn, do the Lakers, and then sort of go out there and leave them hanging for 3 days? I don't know. That seems like a lot of work.
To get
$1 million more a year to live in Storrs, Connecticut, I do not think that that's exactly how it went
down.
Well,
we don't know what he's going to get yet. They're going to make him the highest paid college coach. So he's going to get a significant raise here.
I mean, yeah, it all works out for Dan Hurley. That being said, like, it would not, I think everyone agrees, like, ooh, that Lakers job would have been a tough spot. That would have been a really hard place.
And it remains a tough
spot. Especially for him, because he's such a firebrand and a college coach. To get in there with this aging roster and LeBron and really no way out with this roster, it would have been a tough spot. For money that is not even that great, that also that money, like, they could fire him and not even really care. Because what's the difference? In 2 years, if he's not winning, he's six now in NBA coach. He'd be 20th by the time they're 3 years into this contract. So they could just cut it. It's just the whole thing was not great.
What do you think was really going on? 855-212-4227. You're a sports fan. You've been following along with this story about Dan Hurley kind of emerges out of nowhere, really interested in the Laker job, maybe. Ends up going out there. Looked like they were targeting him. Goes out there, says no thanks. Do you think this was about the money? 6 years, $70 million, not enough to bring Hurley to L.A.? Do you think something else was at play? 855-212-4227. It was pretty stunning yesterday. Gonna lie. Not gonna lie. I thought he was going. I did.
Should have went.
But do you think he'll regret it?
Yes.
Oof, no way.
It's the Lakers.
And?
One of the marquee franchises in the NBA.
They have
I don't know what you're getting.
They have no idea what they're doing right now.
Yeah, well, you know, well, it's his opportunity to make them understand.
That's true.
Yeah, if you feel like you can actually put your stamp on
it. He ran away from a challenge.
Which is not really seem like the type of guy to do that.
No, he took down college basketball last year easily.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do it again.
Well, he could do it. Why not just coach the NBA next year at a better spot?
Well, find a better spot. I mean,
Coach Wemby.
Well.
Get a young star.
I don't think Popovich is going anywhere.
I mean, there's got to be something better than this Lakers roster, right?
Well, but here's the thing. Like, coaches do get fired a lot in the NBA, but generally it's not great opportunities where the people are getting fired. Like, no one's firing Joe Mazzulla. You're not going to walk in and be the next Celtics head coach. But Jason Kidd's not getting fired. Steve Kerr's not getting fired.
I mean, how did Steve Kerr landed in that Golden State? Like, you have to be smart about this. Steve Kerr landed in Golden State. Phil Jackson got the Lakers job. Like, you got to pick the right spot. I think that's important.
He might sit on Celtics.
Yeah, well,
Mazzulla's about to win a title.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's Mazzulla, and he's had his questions, and he might sit on that one.
A lot of people thinking Knicks. Yeah, I mean... But did they extend Thibodeau? Yeah, I think they just did, right?
I mean, Thibodeau is like the king of the city right now. And also, you think it's tough working for the Lakers? Go work for the Knicks. See how many people made it out of that job in a better spot than when they came in.
That being said, Dan Hurley and the Knicks feels like, you know, a hand in a glove. I mean, that's going to happen at some point. We all know that.
855-212-4227. All right. Do you think Dan Hurley is going to regret turning down the Lakers? And what do you think's going on here? Because I'm not taking this all at face value. 855-212-4227. So much to do here. We've got more coaching news for you. A surprise contract extension. We weren't expecting this one yesterday, Pearl, but we'll get that to you in just a moment. It comes from the NFL. It's Maggie Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Okay, so Maggie and I sort of disagree on the genesis of the Dan Hurley negotiation. I think the Lakers really wanted him. He was intrigued for obvious reasons. You know, it's the purple and gold, LeBron James. Ultimately, I think the money was not overwhelming and the chance to win a third title. I mean, he's in great position to win a third title, obviously. Yeah, they're tied for Kansas, the number one team. They have guys coming back, and he seems to just have figured out college basketball. I mean, that tournament run was crazy. So we agreed the Lakers got played here. One way or other.
Yeah, we do agree on that.
So where does this leave this, you know, sort of famous franchise? I think it leaves them as a mess. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. I think that they got to call whoever came out with the Hurleys, like they got to call that agent and say, who's Hurley's agent? I think we talked about this at some point. Anyway, like somebody's got to pay for this on the Lakers side. Like, dude, what are you doing? You came out here, you said you were interested, and then you played us for 4 days. Like, they had to do Monday at 1:45. You won our bet, by the way, about when it would be. I think you said 1:15.
Yeah, 1:12, yep.
And then Woj broke the news. Like, the Lakers look like they have no idea what they're doing. And I think it's kind of a mixed job because LeBron is 40, hasn't even opted in. The rest of the roster, they got a healthy Anthony Davis and LeBron last year and only won 47 games. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's going there. That's the only star that can really add anything. If they get Trae Young, they're marginally worse in my opinion. So I don't even know like where that job is going, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't think they have a consistent plan at head coach. I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, no, I think your logic is sound on that one. I think they're scrambling now.
I think they were scrambling a week ago.
They probably were. I mean, it felt like an odd kind of search. Like, there wasn't a slam dunk hire, and then here comes Dan Hurley, you know, just like out of like a mirage, and here he comes walking out of the desert, and he's going to take over the team. And then it turns out, well, that's not going to happen because he's going to go back to UConn. Where you and I don't see this the same, we could talk about LeBron James's future now, where the Lakers turn for head coach. There's so many things that are on the table now because of this decision. Where you and I just disagree is I feel like we were getting worked here from the beginning. I do think that this was about Dan Hurley getting more money from UConn, because that three-peat, that was on the table the moment they cut down the nets. Nothing changed about the Lakers being in L.A. The Lakers did offer him a lot of money. I know it's not like enough, I guess, for some people, but $70 million should be enough for a first-time NBA head coach who has not won a title in the NBA. That should be enough money if you really want the job to satisfy you. And it's only your first contract. If you really think that you're going to be great at this and if you think you have a future, then you don't like turn your nose up at $70 million. You think about, oh, my next contract's going to be $100 million. You're just thinking about the future, not, oh, my gosh, I'm only going to, after taxes, going to net $6 million. Which Pine Needle says gets you, you know, a two-bedroom apartment and a membership at a municipal court, a golf course.
Well, the problem was there was a $100 million offer reported. So when it came out yesterday, it was 6 years, $70 million. Maybe everybody's expectations got screwed up.
Again, on invitation. I think that Dan Hurley never really wanted this job.
So why did they offer him more money if they don't think he was going to take it? Like, why not at least go like 8 years, 110?
Well, because now you don't want to set the precedent for the next guy. So whoever you do hire, is this the floor is probably going to be $70 million in 6 years, because why wouldn't that person get the same contract as Dan Hurley or near it?
Does that person have two national titles under his belt? No way. No, I mean, if they go with James Borrego and they offer him 6 years, $70 million, then they're going to look like a laughingstock. I mean, obviously Dan Hurley is 10 times the candidate he is.
He is, but you don't want to go so high that all of a sudden your next candidate is insulted by the offer as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, if JJ Redick says, I played 15 years in the NBA, isn't that worth something? Clearly, you want me as the coach. It would hurt their negotiating stance to go blow them way out of the water with $100 million.
Wait, this is a new one. Okay, so they were modest in their proposal to Danny Hurley because they were worried he'd say no and they didn't want a too high of a level for their next coach.
No, I think they thought $70 million might actually get Hurley.
Well, they were wrong.
I don't think he turned down the job because of money. I don't think he ever wanted the job. Let's go to the phones. John is in Connecticut, has a thought on the Laker job. Good morning, John. You guys got to be happy in Connecticut today.
Yeah, although I am a long-time Lakers fan. Why not hear what somebody has to offer you? It certainly, if it's going to be a significant amount of money, which it turned out for whatever reason, it wasn't in Hurley's eyes. But that's a tough job. I mean, it's an aging roster. They've had a revolving door of coaches. And I think that when you get let go from the Lakers, you're tainted. You're just another guy who couldn't make it in Los Angeles with that team. And if he wants to have a future career in the NBA, you don't need that on your resume as having failed in L.A. I think he was smart to not take the job. I think it's an unwinnable job right now. And the brain trust of the Lakers has fallen far behind their competition out there.
Yeah, John, I'll agree with you on that. They definitely don't look like the sharpest bunch because, you know, if you put all your eggs in the Hurley basket, if that's really what they were doing, and then either didn't know that he still wanted to be, you know, that he was going to be swayed back to college or wouldn't go the distance to get him and a couple more million here or there, then you do look silly. And they look like they got used.
It's a little more than that. So there were multiple, like, big-time reports that it was going to be $100 million, $70 million. That's a $30 million difference. I guess Danny Hurley doesn't make that much money. So I thought these numbers were way bigger because the NBA salaries are so gigantic. Like, they really couldn't come in over 6 years, $70 million. I'm still very surprised. You seem like that was the right offer.
That part of the story is not the thing that hangs me up. $70 million, that's not the part of it that I think. I find that hard to believe that was the deal breaker Danny Hurley, who owns one suit and, you know, famously paints himself as like the, you know, blue collar guy. Like, I just
I don't know. I just think that money, obviously, it's just not It's not that big a jump. And the other thing, I was shocked that he only made 6 years, $32 million at UConn. Shocked. Like, what's that about? What? Explain to me the genesis. Like, I mean, Andrew Bogut is in the room. What is the? That's like Fordham pay, not UConn pay.
Fordham pay.
I just don't understand. Like, that is the number this dude makes. Like, what is going on with the coaching circles? Like, NBA and college got to get things in order here if that's what you're paying guys, because that's ridiculous.
I think it just goes to show you kind of where college basketball might be right now, because, you know, the college football coaches get everything. And, you know, Jimbo Fisher had a $70 million buyout.
But I've seen the NCAA tournament numbers and what they're making in billions on that. They should get him more money. I'm not saying they obviously will.
The governor is going to do that now. And why is he going to do that? Because the coach threatened to go coach the Lakers.
I mean, 6 years, $32 million, like, that's what, like the fourth highest NIL deal on his team right now? I'm just kidding. But like, that is NIL money. Like, that's not that crazy different.
I think their
quarterbacks are making more per year in college football than he is, probably.
Again, and I think it goes to show you where college basketball is compared to college football. It's not on the same level. What do you think? What do you think really happened here?
But that's why I think the Lakers could have swooped in and blown him away with a financial offer.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up closer to Maggie on this than to Perloff. I think that both of them would have said yes in the right situations, but almost feels like both of them wanted the other side to say no. Like, Hurley went there thinking he was going to stay at UConn, but here's a number that I'm not going to turn down to go to the Lakers. And he never got that number. And the Lakers, on the flip side, maybe put a number out there that they knew he had to say no to, so it looked like they did their due diligence.
You don't think the Lakers wanted him?
I think the Lakers wanted him. I think it came from John Fanta on these airways. I think John was wrong about $100 million. And other people said it was never $100 million. Like Jeff Goodman said, it was never $100 million. So we should probably.
Woj only said long and lucrative. He never said what the number
was. And 6 and 70 probably does fall into long and lucrative based on what the Lakers had been paying people. I'm actually stunned in general that we've had two completely different competing stories about this search. Like Shams and the Athletic. I mean, even yesterday, the Woj story said the Lakers will now, for the first time, formally interview J.J. Redick. Like, it's like there's two different things. There's so much water being carried by these two guys right now. First, from, I guess, the Laker perspective, and then basically Woj ghostwriting for Dan Hurley, or Dan Hurley ghostwriting for Woj. It's crazy to me.
You're right. The reporting here is all over the map, and it just feels like favor after favor. Yep. I said it. I felt like we were all getting worked, and you know, that Woj report before game one of the NBA Finals, I just remember feeling like, ugh, like what was that? How many favors just got done in that 90-second report?
And it's like also telling on yourself that you're not doing your job correctly. Like when he first said, like, for the first time ever, that Hurley has been at the forefront of this search from the beginning.
Right.
You should have known that, and you didn't tell us that. And then I think the fact that he just sneaks in yesterday, he's already talked to you about a new deal. Like, that's a big thing.
This is
that
stuff
you should have told us last week.
Yes, this is news we could have used last Thursday.
That's a huge factor in all of this.
So let me just, like, I just want to make sure we're clear about one thing. So the Lakers just wanted to put out an offer to save face, being like, we're going after the top guys. And that was their goal. And a part of their goal in this was say, hey, due diligence. We made a good offer to the best college coach, so you can't blame us when we hired James Borrego.
Well,
because if that's the case, like that backfired because they look like a joke.
Yeah, they do look bad.
They look bad, but maybe they got the sense that he was not really into it. So when it came to, you know, time to put things on the table.
Dan Hurley's a recruiter. Don't you think it's more likely that he went there and he had them convinced that he was really interested?
I mean, I would really hope that they're not that dumb. Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss.
You're telling me
they're dumb.
So you think Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka sat there, interviewed him, and he walked away of this quote unquote, he said it was a remarkable media. They thought, well, he's probably just using us for UConn. You don't think they thought they had a great chance of hiring him?
Well, don't you think it was weird that the report came out along a lucrative contract they were prepared to offer before they'd ever met the guy in person?
No. I mean, I don't think that's weird at all, because he had just won two national titles in college basketball.
Yeah, but but college doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the pros, and he's a unique personality. Of all the people you should do this anytime you're hiring someone, especially for a big job, but you've got LeBron James hangs in the balance. Future, are you going to draft Bronny? All these things on the table. You're trying to be competitive in the Western Conference, and you would hire the guy, like, sight unseen?
But you say the guy. I mean, He's obviously is he the number one coach in college basketball? And is there anyone even close?
I think Bill Self, like people.
Bill Self. Oh my God, really? Bill Self from Kansas? That Bill Self? You think he's a better coach than Danny Hurley?
I'm just saying, you're asking me who are the great coaches in college basketball, and I think Bill Self, and I think Mark Few, and I think there are other guys who are great coaches.
I disagree with that. I think it's Danny Hurley right now in a cliff.
Drew is a great coach.
It's not the gap is not that big. It's just not. The last few years have been remarkable.
It seemed like Kentucky really wanted him.
Yeah, they should.
And he turned him down on the spot.
So he's the number one college coach.
He turned him down during the Final Four, I think.
And like, think about if it was college football. Like, I know Kirby Smart isn't exactly Mr. Personality, but you would have had to offer him a pretty big deal to get him to leave Georgia after two titles to go to the NFL.
And it's not a slam dunk that he would have been good.
Well, maybe, maybe not, but at least he would have had to be one of the top three highest paid coaches.
Look at Urban Meyer. I mean, who thought that was going to fail so spectacularly, and it blew up in the most embarrassing way possible. It's hey, you're great in one sport, you're going to be great in the other. We know that.
Yeah, but Urban Meyer already sort of, he was not the number one coach of college when they got him. He was sort of already out of the sport because he burned himself out.
No, he was out of the, No.
He was already psychotic at that point. Like, he'd already had to leave everything.
Yeah, well, he was psychotic, and that's always seen as like you're doing your job well if you're basically having a stroke on the sideline is what we expect from college football coaches. It's ridiculous. He got in trouble because one of his assistant coaches had a domestic dispute, and he may have known about it and didn't report
it. Oh, you think that's why he burned out, just because of that?
No, I think he tends to burn out. He did it in Florida, too.
And you cannot pretend that the Jaguars like were doing him a favor by hiring him. He was Urban freaking Meyer.
Urban Meyer was not where Danny Hurley was. Like, it was like, ooh, they got Urban Meyer. That was not the case at that point. Urban Meyer was like...
What world did you live in?
Urban Meyer was like not the super hot candidate by any means. Like,
everybody on the planet wanted Urban Meyer.
He just beaten Michigan 8 years in a row.
NFL? Wait. What year did they hire him?
Urban Meyer was linked to like every prominent, like, is he going to take the Notre Dame job? Like, he was all over the place. He got the job because he was Urban Meyer. He was not down and out. And Shad Khan came in and was like, hey, buddy, I heard you used to be good at college football.
I feel like when the Jags hired him, like, ooh, that's kind of weird. That's what I thought.
It was weird because I thought he was going to do he was going to be a maniac.
I thought he was
going to
retire. I thought he was kind of retired.
But he was still Urban Meyer.
I mean, he'd already left for who did he work for in broadcast? Like, he was already flirting with broadcast. It seemed like he'd already, like, kind of burned out to a large degree. It wasn't like anyone thought.
Yeah, but he burned out in Florida, and then he came to Ohio State and won.
Right.
But the burnout was temporary.
Right, but Danny Hurley's coming off two national titles. Urban Meyer was not. Do you think there were 32 teams who were going to offer Urban Meyer a job? No way. I think everybody wants Danny Hurley.
It would have been way more than one for football. I don't think that Urban Meyer was as burned out as you're remembering here. I mean, he was definitely beating Michigan soundly.
So what? Yeah,
to the point where Michigan had to start a sign stealing scandal. Well, we're just talking about history, but
I think you guys are underestimating where Danny Hurley is in the sport right now. Do you think he's like kind of in the same category with Bill Self and Mark Few? And I just think it's different. I think he outcoached the entire country the last 2 years.
Yeah, yes, the last 2 years have been fantastic, but guys have been doing it in general, winning and successful longer than he has. Like, I think Bill Self's already in the Hall of Fame.
And the other part, like, too, there's definitely been a changing of the guard a bit in college basketball. So Danny Hurley right now is going up against the Matt Painters and guys like that who are coaches but don't have this great winning pedigree. And he doesn't have to deal with Coach K. And he doesn't have to deal with Jim Boeheim. And he doesn't have to deal with Roy Williams. And he doesn't have to deal with Jay Wright. And there have been a lot of coaches who have recently left the sport. So, you know, he might be, I'm not saying he's not a great coach, and I'm not saying he didn't have a great team, but he also came along at a time where maybe this was perfect for him to have this 2 year run of dominance. So,
or he's pioneering a new era of coaches. So he doesn't have to live up to Coach K and Boeheim. He's making a new trend for passionate, energetic, personable coaches that maybe the Lakers see that could be the future in the NBA also.
Maybe. But they clearly, I can see why they were interested. I don't know if Hurley was ever really interested. And, you know, everyone, like, we've had some callers point out, the Laker job, while glamorous, was definitely not without its pitfalls, right? Mm. And I think Hurley would have had to understand that before he got on that plane. So, how appealing is it? Like, nothing he was going to do between flying between Connecticut and L.A. was going to change the fact that LeBron James is on the team or Anthony Davis or that they're going to draft Bronny or that they have this roster. This, none of that. He knows this. He's in the profession. So, again, was he ever actually serious about wanting the job? All right, we've used all that time. Boog, will you stick around for headlines after this?
Sure.
Because we need to figure out what was going on. Hockey last night, Caitlin Clark was on the court. So much to do. It's Maggie and Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We are in the deepest, darkest corners of the NBA and college basketball to try to figure out what the heck happened here with Dan Hurley. Why is he not the Lakers head coach? Is it just money? Is it just the team? Something in between? Meanwhile, he goes back to Connecticut. He's going to get a new contract. The governor of Connecticut said so yesterday. So that's cool. And the Lakers search continues.
I think I'm right about all this.
But hold on to your thought for 1 second, because Andrew Bogut just stuck around kindly into this segment so we can get some headlines in this show. What's going on?
All those headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. So just to recap, UConn kept its coach. The Lakers still don't have one, but the guy they're replacing does. Darvin Ham returning to Milwaukee to be Doc Rivers' top assistant. Ham worked with the Bucks for 4 seasons, including their 2021 title, before leaving for L.A. So here's the good news. The voice of Indiana Fever head coach Christy Sides is getting better. The bad news, her team is not getting better. 89-72 losers at the Connecticut Sun last night, dropping to 3-10. It was never close, so the head coach was not happy postgame.
We were just trying to ask them to keep playing hard, play hard. You can't start there. You can't play in this league if that's what, you know, if you have to coach effort. It's just too hard.
Ruh-roh. Caitlin Clark scored just 10 points, 3 of 8 shooting, only played 22 minutes, sitting the entire fourth quarter as fans in Connecticut chanted for her to get back into the game. There is some good news for Caitlin. The Athletic says Clark and Sun forward Brianna Jones are the top alternates for the Olympic team this summer. The Florida Panthers taking a 2-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final with a 4-1 win over the Oilers in Sunrise, Florida. Two of those goals from Evan Rodriguez. Game 3 is in Edmonton on Thursday night. The Carolina Panthers will work out UFL Offensive Player of the Year, Hakeem Butler, soon. Butler just caught 45 balls for a league-high 652 yards for everybody's favorite, the St. Louis Battlehawks. Guys, back to you.
So wait, if Caitlin Clark makes the Olympic team, what happens to all the Caitlin Clark didn't make the Olympic team takes? Do they just...
Well, she still didn't make it originally, so I think those points do still stand.
Okay, or then is there another set of takes like, oh my God, they should put her on that team because she didn't deserve it? Like, do we start the whole cycle again?
Well, that's the crazy thing. If she's the first alternate, what happened to all the she didn't deserve it people? Because if she didn't deserve it, then I'm sure there's got to be somebody else who has played longer, who has more of a resume in the WNBA,
right,
like Skylar Diggins or something like that, who would be there first if this was purely a merit thing.
Right, so then they should come out and write op-ed saying that she doesn't deserve this. Well, I think we will get a set of those takes. No?
Do we get to do this all over again?
Oh, absolutely.
In the reverse?
It doesn't do anything to dispel the type of the idea that, like, the... I know this was a committee that was made up of a lot of different people, but the idea that it was to, like, I don't say knock her down a peg, but like to not give her stuff, like making her an alternate doesn't do anything to quiet the people who believe everyone else is jealous of her or that the veterans don't want her on the team. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, I do think it softens it a little bit, though. So, like, if they make it an alternate, like, it's a perfect solution for both sides. So they don't put her on the original team, so the veterans are cool, but she does get to the Olympics, and everybody gets see Caitlin Clark in Paris. So feels like everybody, it's a win-win, no?
I don't know, because, again, like, what happened to the merit conversation? There has to be someone else who you would think would have, if you're just going on merit, would have more right to that spot, if that's what we're going off of. And that's why this was always felt silly.
But I thought yesterday you were throwing out stats about her three-pointers made and her assists. So merit, she's close.
Right, but you're telling me if it's about people who have done more for Team USA or have been in the WNBA longer, if that's what we're going off of, then her stats would have never mattered, right? This is about seniority, and this is about waiting your turn and all of that and not being handed something.
Yeah, that's why I feel like U.S. women's basketball found a middle road where they can make everybody happy by making her first alternate. Then she'll be there in Paris. And then, I don't know, then we'll have to sort of reconvene and come up with a whole new set of Caitlin Clark takes.
The one thing about it is it doesn't help for the people who thought, oh, this month off is going to be great for her, right? If she ends up making the team, then she's going to have to go through the rigors of being on the Olympic team. She's going to get no break. And I know there were some people, you and I don't think we're two of those people. There were some people who were very concerned about whether she would get like a mental break.
Yeah, that's true. Olympic basketball has helped a lot of young players. Like I remember Grant Hill exploded after he was on an Olympic team. Like you're going to play basketball. It's not the worst thing for your basketball game to be out there with the best players in the world. So I think she can make that work as well.
Yeah, I always thought it was weird to tell a professional athlete what they should do with their body, you know?
Yeah, I mean, she's going to get a lot of basketball in it. I think that this is going to end up working out.
We'll see if she actually makes the team. 855-212-4227. All right, we need to figure out who is going to coach the LA Lakers. It's not going to be Dan Hurley. Where do the purple and gold go next? Maggie Perloff on Infinity Sports Net.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.